Good morning to everyone. Those who don't know me, I'm Kobus Mankies. Welcome, you're very welcome at the service. And I have a title this morning that reads, Christmas is a time for giving. Stephen thought I had a spelling mistake in there, but it's not actually. It's meant to be like that. So, how many of you, first ask, who can believe it's December already? We're in December, actually. Wow. 5th of December, here we are. End of the year. It's 2021, it's going out. Hallelujah. some of us are glad. Definitely. So, yeah, we're joyful. We can go into this time and hopefully some of you or most of you can take a bit of a break, take some holiday, because that would be a blessing at this time, I think. If you have to imagine and think of your ideal holiday, December holiday, think about what it would look like. See, my son is turning there. It's summertime. Is he? Yeah, so I think many times if we think of December holidays, you know, your ideal might be to go to a beach house, book a house with friends, and, you know, have sort of social and functions and celebrate, you know, through the holidays. Or maybe you like to just be on the beach and just from early morning be the first one on the beach and just bake in the sun and just me time and drink some cool drink and ice cream and so on. Or yeah, we're doing the camping thing this year, but we're going camping for a little while. So some of us like to go camping, just be under a tree next to a river, peace and quiet and calm. But it's a privilege if you can do that. Some of us just think of the Christmas lunch, the big do, celebration, the family, the food, and all of that that's coming on. So, but besides whatever it is that you fancy, I think today what I want to try and bring across or help us with is just how do we keep God at the center in this time in our lives? If you're taking a holiday or not, if you're not taking holiday, please forgive me. I'm really sorry this morning for this. So you'll see all around, we see all the Christmas decorations up. Stephen, you can put that next slide on. So we see a lot of this, you know, the logos, the emblems, and in the shops, everywhere you go, you see Merry Christmas, and it's been Black Friday, you know, shopping, still Black Friday, there's a lot of good messages out there, you know, so, but somehow the good message also loses its meaning in this time around Christmas, because it's commercialized. We hear it over and over, you see it every year, and I think of always, Danelle loves her, a Hallmark Christmas movies and romances, even in June, July, Christmas in July. She's not here, so I can talk about her. But even though it's beautiful, it's actually good. It's nice movies, and there's a lot of good in it. But it's just a bit cheesy. It becomes like very cheap, actually, the idea about Christmas. And it's all about ourselves and about what we can get out of it and not so much what we can give in this time as well. A lot of the messages like that one focuses on happiness, and again it's happiness and it's good to be happy, but what is happiness? So we focus on ourselves once again. We think a lot about what can I get out of this time. And Yeah, I think similar to Christmas, maybe the way that we look at our holiday time as well. We can focus a bit on the wrong things, and like we say, it's the time of actually where Christ, where Jesus is supposed to be in the center of our thoughts and just of our lives in this time. So Wikipedia says that happiness is positive and mental. Positive mental and emotional states. It also says that it's pleasure, feelings of pleasure. So it's all about emotions and how we feel, and which is all good. But we know that, and it's good, and joy is good. I think what I'm trying to get to is that as believers, we have a joy that never ends. Joy from the inside. It's a source, it's a fountain that we can give from. It's an abundant life from the inside that we can keep giving from. It's not a materialistic happiness that we get from Christ. And so that's what we want to focus on. Just this holiday time. How can we come back to the Lord in this time and remain with Him? There's a scripture verse, Psalm 4 verse 7, about rejoicing and the gladness of the Lord, where David says, "You have put gladness in my heart, more than in the season that their grain and wine increased." And earlier in the psalm, God says, "When will you stop loving worthlessness?" And so just connecting with material things, and David saying, "My joy and gladness I get from the Lord is more than the things, the grain and the wine and the things that I can get." So my prayer for you is, even if you're not going on holiday, that that gladness of the Lord will still be there in this time. Okay, so I'm still on my intro of the sermon, so but it's not on the screen. I'm just going to read you a little article that I came across about this time, about our Christmas and this season. It's not perfect, it's not ideal, but still there's a lot of opportunity for beauty in this time. It's from the website Christianity.com. "Somehow, amid the glamour and glitter of our hyper-technological and plastic age, we see true beauty in the way people made in God's image express care for and sympathize with the plight of others. For some people, Christmas is a dark time or a financial drain, and it is dreaded rather than looked forward to. During this season of light, hearts soften. Songs of peace and joy and love replace those filled with lust, violence, and heartache. With Christmas comes a kind of beauty absent in other months. And even when materialism gets in the way of the Messiah, there remains a splendor to the season. Seeing such beauty, though, requires eyes opened by God's Spirit. We are matchsticks, but apart from Christ, there is no spark. Thank Him for the gift of salvation given to you, even though you did not deserve it." So there's beauty in this time. There's the sympathizing with others in this time, a season of light, like they say, the songs. And above all, Christ is the spark in this time. That you go on holiday and it's Christmas time. And one such a person who experienced that spark and a renewed love for Jesus was a man called Francis of Assisi. He was an Italian dude, and he lived in around the 1100s. But he was also like a saint in the Catholic Church at the time. But he was actually from a very wealthy family, so he had a good life and enjoyed all the good things. And then in his early 20s, he became very sick. And after he was healed, he met Jesus and he gave his heart to the Lord and he basically gave his life to the church. And he realized the thing of living for others rather than for himself. So, and from that, this was like a mini revival at the time, where after his death, thousands of people came to love God again, came back to the love of God, and just that pure religion almost. So this quote here is just, it's from a famous prayer that he wrote, I think, and published, and there's just a little portion of it. It says that, "For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life." And speaking about giving, we're speaking about the season of giving, and thinking about others as well in this time. So I'm going to take this quote, and there's three sentences, so I'm going to break it into these three almost ideas that we can take into our holiday with us, starting from the bottom up, though. So the first one, like he said, in dying we are born again. I want to focus on this holiday, making time for God in your holiday, in your time. And so in other words, taking time out from the material stuff and all that's going on, and turning to God. Like in Galatians 5, verse 16 to 25, it speaks about this. It says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." That first picture we had up of the Christmas tree, as it actually quotes from this verse, because it says love, joy, and peace. And so many of the Christmas cards and things actually quotes this. It quotes the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, and peace. And it sometimes will add hope or something. And why is it that these fruits of the Spirit has become so sort of common, has become old, boring, when you see it on a Christmas card? I think, can we again have faith, believe God, that through this joy and love and kindness, He can do something more, that He can use us. To trust Him, to pray for Him. And so, turning to God in this time, can we turn to God and trust Him to bring life in this time? Trust Him to show us the beauty and the splendor that we read about, the light of God in this time, the light of Christ in this time, and every day, and that we can just also enjoy and again be refreshed, renewed, to see Him, like we sang in the worship, the splendor and the brilliant light of Christ. Can we again turn back to that? I have to be honest, so myself, I feel when I get to December and holidays, I don't want to do anything that's effort. No effort, nothing that takes too much. And but you know, we know it, but resting in God, there's actually rest, there's actually strength, there's actually making time for God, there's actually rest in doing that. So the second thing we can make time for is time for fellowship with other believers. And so we heard now that there won't be services for 2 weeks. So it's a good time for fellowship to make some time for that as well. In 1 Peter 4 verse 8 says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over multitude of sins. Like this Francis said, in pardoning we are pardoned. And also making time for people in this holiday. Just firstly, never mind fellowship, just first of all, you know, we can really appreciate each other, our family, our loved ones, friends, especially after the year and two that we have been through. It's actually we realize the privilege of just being with other people. And yeah, don't just be by yourself. Go out, be with people, spend time with people, and really appreciate each other. So it speaks about pardoning and, you know, sins being covered by love. And so for me, it just really speaks of just spending time with someone and showing someone that they are accepted. Just being in someone's company, there's actually so much power in that. You know, I always say love and forgiveness can change the world. And it's so simple. But yeah, just making time for someone. And then especially, you know, maybe try and make some special effort to meet with other believers, because it's something in that like-mindedness, having someone who believes with you, just spending time with someone like that, that strengthens our faith also in this time. There's another quote from David Platt, a Christian author. Forgiveness is God's greatest gift because it meets our greatest need. I just put this on to show my title slide, that forgiveness is a gift. So this is this quote is just confirming that forgiveness is a gift. But yeah, there's another quote that actually says that forgiveness is the greatest gift you can give yourself as well. So yeah, maybe there's someone that you actually have to go and make right with in this time that you've been putting off. Or like we said, maybe just actually just spending time with someone, just showing that there's no, like, what's it, oulig, frotlig, of no bitterness between you and anyone, just to be in the company of others. All right, and then the third one, to make time for mercy in this time. Now, this is now, of course, now my mercy heart that comes in here, thinking of the poor people who can't go on holiday, or people who are really struggling at this time. And Francis says that in giving we receive. Now, when I read this part about Lazarus in Luke 16, verse 19, and we can just listen and maybe let our hearts just be moved, softened again by this testimony of Jesus sharing. In verse 19, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fed sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. So it's a heavy word. But all I want to show out of this is just the relationship of the rich man with or towards his material things versus his relationship with God. And just something to note for us, because God, money isn't bad or good. It's never bad or good. It's how we handle it and what we do with it that matters. And luckily, I know a lot of myself, at least, I don't have that problem of having too much money, but a lot of us don't have this problem. But yeah, just to remember, there are people, and maybe in this time, maybe there's a neighbor, or maybe it's someone in church who actually really can do just with, just with making time for them, just spending time, maybe, yeah, reaching out, maybe inviting them for Christmas lunch or something like that. But yeah, let's consider others in this time. So this is to summarize practically. So I want to say, by all means, enjoy the holidays, and I have nothing against Christmas or anything. I think we all must enjoy and relax over this holiday time. There's some tips for us how to maybe keep God part of this time. So firstly, like I said, make time for God. And and I thought maybe even if you're a parent or you're married, maybe think just practically beforehand, speak to your spouse, or just how you can actually plan to take turns to have quiet time. Even sometimes it's just in this time, it's nice to just, it's summer, just go and walk and spend time with the Lord in other ways as well. We're out of the routine. So make time for God, for fellowship. Maybe now already we're now up front, so we have time. So plan a few appointments, maybe one or two appointments with someone else in church for over this holiday time. And then also make time to show mercy. Yeah, think of that neighbor, think of someone who can really, maybe the lost can even get saved just by you inviting them over. And so let's do that. And yeah, to summarize, Christmas is a time for giving, and you will actually be better off after you've done so, after giving. Like Francis of Assisi said, for it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.